welcome back to the Lawn Hustle Podcast. If you're in the green industry and you're ready to take your lawn care business to the next level, you're in the right place. I am Andy Wilson, your host, with 16 years of experience in the field. Each week we dive into stories, strategies, and secrets that can help you build a legit, thriving lawn care business. Whether you're starting out or you're ready to scale, this is your space to learn, to grow, and to hustle smarter. Now let's get to work. In today's episode, we have Jason and Jordan. They are the co-host of the Green Side Up podcast. I want to encourage my listeners at the very beginning to subscribe to their show, hit the notification button so you don't miss an episode. I listen to it as I'm working, and it's entertaining and it is educational. So, Jordan and Jason, thank you for joining the Lawn Hustle.
Oh, Andy, thank you, man.
Thanks for having us on, Andy.
We might have to throw you a couple extra dollars for an introduction that nice. I think we underpaid you so far.
Well, let me start off by asking each of you if you can tell us about your journey and what led you to where you are today.
Why don't you take that one, Jason?
Sure. So my name's Jason Lee. I own Skyfrog Landscape. We're a full-service landscape company in Gainesville, Florida, and been in business 15 years this year, I believe. Prior to that, I'd worked at Austin Outdoor, which was a large commercial landscaping firm over on the east coast of Florida in Bunnell. And during my time there, they were purchased by the Yellowstone Group. So I was there during the transition of their acquisition into Yellowstone and, you know, made some great connections there and still have some great friends that, you know, either still work there or have worked there. But prior to that, I grew up in the horticulture industry. From a young age, my parents had a 1 acre cut foliage operation where we grew greenery for flower arrangements. So I was introduced to plants and pulling weeds, you know, while I was in diapers. So my mom used to have me run out in the fernery and pull trophy weeds. And so if I had a weed that was as big as I was, it was a good day.
And that's why you're such a good American, Jason.
Yeah.
Because you started working in diapers.
That's right.
As it should be.
It's babysitting 101, you know, teaching kids to pull weeds. So
that would be a big weed.
Yep, my son's pretty good at it too. So he'll just start picking weeds now. He's 6 years old. He'll just start picking weeds naturally. But, you know, from that, our story, I guess, to speed it up to where kind of where Jordan and I met, you know, my journey led me into wanting to go to school at the University of Florida. And I didn't know exactly what for, you know, during high school, but I went to junior college and at St. John's River in Palatka, so a small community college at the time, and got my AA. And then as I was looking through the course catalog at the University of Florida in the College of Agriculture, I was already cutting grass. I was already landscaping. I was starting to dabble in some landscape design and installation stuff. So they had a degree that was landscape and nursery management in their horticulture department. And I said, well, that's fitting. I already grow plants and I do landscaping, so I might as well do that. So then I went and got a degree at the University of Florida in environmental horticulture, as they label it. So we studied nurseries, growing plants, landscape operations, landscape installation design. So a good base introduction into the industry. And then after that, we were recruited as students by landscape firms, and that's how I ended up working at Austin Outdoor after college. So,
and then you told your boss to shove it, and you moved to Gainesville and started with a pair of hand clippers.
That's right. Yep.
Now, didn't you guys live together in an apartment while you were in college?
Close. We lived together in a house. Jason was out of school and I was still in school. I was finishing, and I think I did the 4.5 year plan of a 4 year degree. So it was the half year that I was finishing when I was still a student. I was doing some summer internships or whatever, you know, little research project. But we lived together in a house in the woods, and I had chickens. We shot raccoons from inside the house, shooting out of the house because they would eat my chickens. And Jason shot a deer in the backyard in a tree stand, and the neighbor yelled that the cops are coming. So we got ready for the cops to come, and they didn't show up. But yeah, we had a hell of a good time, and we buried a lot of alligators in the front yard from alligator season, and had a lot of log fires where you'd, you know, stack logs up with a skid steer. So we had a redneckery good time on the very tail end of college. But
so Jordan and I moved in together. I was transitioning when I left Austin Outdoor and decided to move back to Gainesville to start a landscape business. That's when Jordan and we had connected prior to that, through mutual friends, but that's when we ended up moving in together. So,
yeah. And my name's Jordan Upcavage. I'm a certified arborist, and I'm not a landscaper anymore. I'm an arborist. I work for my dad. My dad started Independent Tree Service in Tampa, Florida, 47 years ago in 1978. So I grew up the son of a tree guy, throwing pine cones and a whisper chipper in the front yard, you know, barefoot. And then in the summers of high school, I would run a rake and drag branches and feed the chipper and be a log donkey. So I learned to be one hell of a groundman. Went to college at Florida State. Got a two-year degree from Florida State. Met my wife there. We have three beautiful children now. After I got my associates from Florida State, I transferred to University of Florida. Similar story. I changed my major from business to environmental horticulture. And I really honed in not only on horticulture, but on arborculture, because I always wanted to be a tree guy. And that's where I got introduced to Jason Lee. It was through some mutual friends through the Environmental Horticulture Club there. And we hit it off. We had a lot in common, became roommates. And I landscaped throughout college to, you know, help pay for my living wages. And that's where I learned the trade. We became friends. And then the time was right for me to move back home to Tampa and throw some gasoline on the business. And now we have quite the enterprise going on in Tampa, which I'm not pretty proud about. I'm very proud about what we have going on with a family business. And my sister's the office manager, have a full-time salesman, operations manager, a whole litany of crews and gear. So built from doing it from the bottom up.
Interesting stories. I started with a Chevy HHR and a push mower. It wasn't even self-propelled. It was Andy-propelled.
Yeah.
And I had one or two clients, and I'm still mowing those two today, 16 years later.
Have you raised your prices?
I have. I didn't for a long time on them.
Yeah.
But I realize these customers, they don't go to Kroger's or whatever your grocery store is in Florida. And when the cashier rings their grocery bill up and tells them it's $400, they don't say, well, that's too much. I'm only going to pay you $250. A client can't dictate the price. So everything else goes up. They pay the price, whatever it is, for groceries or electric or gas bill. So why should lawn service be any different or tree service be any different? You know, you got to know your price, you got to know your worth, and you got to charge accordingly.
You hit the nail on the head, Andy, and really what I learned living with Jason, right? I was landscaping at the time. I knew how to climb trees and whatever, but I was landscaping with Jason. And, you know, think about it. I'm 22 years old, still in college. I didn't know the value of myself, where I would do anything for a job. Like, I got a pickup truck. I don't even own a trailer. You know, I got some push mowers and a pickup truck and some weed eaters. And when I needed a trailer, I'd borrow Jason's, right? So, but I would do anything. I'd do anything to get the job, and I would lowball it. And I would charge $20 a labor hour for me. I'm the owner-operator charging $20 an hour, not even thinking about my overhead or my own pickup truck and the insurance and the fuel that I'm putting in it. And Andy, in my first year in business as a landscaper in Gainesville, I paid myself $19,000.
Oh, wow.
So that's like 10 bucks an hour, but I'm working 80 hours a week. So I'm probably paying myself $4.80 an hour for the number of hours that I'm working, getting up at 4:30 in the morning with this guy to lift weights in the garage with centerfolds stapled to the ceiling to give us motivation. And then we'd sharpen mower blades at 5:15, you know. So that was a super healthy exercise of poverty to teach myself my own value.
Well, is that the number one thing you would tell someone that's wanting to start in the green industry or the service industry? Would that be your first piece of advice? Learn and know your value and charge accordingly.
You know what? I want Jason to chime in on that, but that moral that you just laid out, it's not just the green industry. Let's say you're a drywall person, you're a paver person, a pressure washer, a roofer. If you're anybody in a service-based business, you have to learn your value. And finding employees isn't easy. So yes, that's part of it. But I would also say equally as important is picking the people that you work for. You don't have to work for everybody. Don't right. work for the people that, you know, you feel uncomfortable about, that are, you think are out to screw you or that undervalue you. They might not be a good fit for you. So that's a whole nother piece of it, is you can shop for your customers just like they can shop for the service provider.
I think one of the biggest problems with starting out, because I did the same thing Jordan did for years. I mean, I didn't raise prices on our landscape maintenance customers for my first 10 years in business. I mean, it was, you know, just without, I don't know, with a little bit of fear in there and not necessarily not knowing my worth, but definitely some fear of losing customers and what's going to happen. And it's like, oh, we'll keep our old customers at the same price and just charge the new ones more money and, you know, doing that game. But I think in the beginning, especially in the landscape industry, I mean, we don't know a lot about business. So you might not know as much. You know, you don't know. It's not that you might not know your worth. You just don't know enough about business to, you know, charge enough to recoup your overhead, you know, and mark up your equipment and whatnot. So I think it's, and I don't really care for the saying, you don't know what you don't know. Like, it's not one of my favorite sayings.
I love that saying.
But it's true. It's 100%. You don't know what you don't know. So, and I think now, compared to even when Jordan and I were living together, you know, even the podcast that we're doing right now, you have a podcast, we have a podcast. You know, I kind of see the podcast community as a peer community. It's one big peer group community where everybody can learn from each other. Right. Like, I've been in some industry peer groups the past 4 or 5 years and have learned so much from other phenomenal landscape contractors, you know, from weed and feed guys to, you know, fancy design build guys to commercial maintenance contractors, you know, across the board from across the country. And we learn so much from each other. You know, and obviously I'm paying for that group, but here we are doing podcasts at night and anyone can chime in and learn. So there's so much information at your fingertips between podcasting and YouTube and, you know, anything across the board that you don't have to pay for, that if you're just starting out, I mean, I feel like if I was starting out now and I knew this information was there and consumed it. Yeah. I mean, you have to have not that you have a competitive advantage in the market, but you have a competitive advantage against yourself of, you know, of learning. So now you can fast track. Hopefully you can, you know,
and to pry on that, Jason, you know, we talked about understanding your own value, associating yourself with the right clientele. You talked about peer groups and coaching because you don't know what you don't know. My model or tidbit is strive. You know, I like to strive to be the professional. And I'm the professional service provider at the professional price. Okay. We have a grocery store in town. It's called Publix. It's more expensive than Winn-Dixie or Aldi. But oftentimes people will go buy overpriced produce at Publix because the person at the cashier is more welcoming, the store is cleaner, and it's a more pleasurable experience. Mm-hmm. Hell, their slogan is shopping is a pleasure at Publix. So what I would say is, if you're starting out, you could be the Walmart high volume, low margin. There's nothing wrong with that, but you would probably want to steer more towards commercial if you're high volume, low margin. Dealing with residential at high volume, low margin, there's too many bosses. There's too many variables. There's too many accounts receivables that you have to chase down. Too many phone calls and people that nag. I've learned that usually the smaller the dollar figure job, the more tedious and nagging and a bigger pain in the neck they're going to be. The Absolutely. Bigger dollar figure job, jobs, the higher tolerant they are of things and the more professional they handle, you know, issues. So where I'm going with that is if you want to be that higher end, that professional, associate yourself with other professionals in a professional organization. So for me, being the arborist, there's an organization called the ISA, the International Society of Arboriculture. And I am part of the Florida chapter of the ISA. I've actually been a board member on the Florida chapter for the past 5 years. I'm currently vice president this year. Next year, I'll be president of the state chapter. But that associates me with all of the best actors in the state of Florida. It associates me at the state level climbing competitions that we were at last weekend. And so we're dealing with the best of the best. And because it's statewide, there's a huge sharing of information because we're not head-to-head competitors in the same county. I could be dealing with another business that's 4 hours away, and we can talk about software, equipment, tips and tricks because there's no direct competition. If you're the landscaper, for instance, in Florida, there's the FNGLA, the Florida Nursery Growers Association. So I would start by partnering yourself with other professionals. And like my mom used to say, it's not what you know, it's who you know. And really, college was great. You learn a whole bunch of stuff, and at the end of it, you get a giant piece of expensive paper that you put on the wall that means absolutely nothing. It's how you apply that. So yeah, all right, I took calculus twice. And I don't use calculus at all. I took horticultural physiology, and I can tell you why a cactus uses less water to fix carbon during photosynthesis than an azalea. I can tell you why, but that doesn't matter. What matters is I met guys like Jason Lee, and it's people that we met with. And so now Jason and I have this podcast, and we talk on the phone 3 times a week in the morning on the way to the shop, spitballing employee things, equipment things, soundboarding ideas. So this is long in the tooth of associate yourself with other business models that you would want to emulate.
Absolutely. Let's recap just for a minute. So if you want to be successful in a business, we've talked about know your ideal customer. We've talked about know your numbers. We've talked about being a professional. With that third one, being a professional, what does professionalism look like to you?
I got it.
Go for it.
Okay. You got to fit the bill. Okay. You got to fit the part. I'm still in my work uniform. Okay. I have a button-down collared shirt, embroidered logo, clean and not stained. Okay. Look at my neck. I shaved my neck yesterday. Not every day, but it's presentable. I've washed my face and I have no rips in my pants. I look presentable. My truck is clean. Okay. It doesn't have to be immaculate inside, but I have an all-you-can-wash car wash pass for my pickup truck that's $24 a month. So I can get a car wash every 3 days. And during pollen season, I get a car wash every day. I drive through and I never leave my vehicle. Okay. So I look presentable. My trucks are presentable. If I have a hydraulic leak, throw a sheet of plywood or a tarp under it. Don't just let it leak on your customer's driveway. Be on time. Or if you're late, call them and just communicate that you're going to be late and simply just do what you say you're going to do. It's not that, it's so easy to say, but it's actually really hard to do. I get behind, it seems like I run late almost every single day. I'm always 30 minutes late in my schedule. But if I call the people and let them know that and give them a heads up, they appreciate it. Or if I say that I'm going to do something and I don't do it and I forget, I admit it. So before they stew in the back of their head, Jordan told me that they were going to, pull that vine off of my pool cage and they didn't do it. They forgot. And I remember it. I'm like, oh, Mrs. Jones or Andy, hey, we were at your home yesterday. I want to make sure we did a great job. It just dawned on me that I told you we were going to get that vine off your pool cage and I forgot to tell my crew. Can I swing them by in the next week, week and a half when we're in the area? And if I fess up to my shortcomings before you have to remind me, it just further builds the trust that we have. So I like to have, for professionalism, look like you're professional, speak like you're professional. I can cut loose and use a lot of slang when it's me and Jason talking, but when I'm engaged, I'm looking at you in the eye, and it's a very yes, sir, no curse words, okay, in a business setting. And then lay out the expectations clearly on what you plan to do and when you plan to do it. Do what you say you're going to do. Follow up upon completion and make sure you checked all the boxes. And if you missed one, we'll go back and check that box with the client, and then everybody's happy. So after you did the job, you've ensured customer satisfaction, then you do invoices and get payment. And you don't have those lingering accounts payables where this person isn't paying you because you forgot to trim the hedge 4 months in a row.
That's some solid advice. Yes, sir.
No, and Jordan nailed it. And sometimes in the beginning, it's, you know, with your personal appearance, that's an easy thing to fix. But, you know, now with SkyFrog, you know, we have branded vehicles. We run Isuzu box trucks, you know. But in the beginning, you know, I couldn't afford to put vinyl stickers on my, or at least I didn't think I could. Probably would have been some of the best money I ever did was logoing our trucks sooner. But, you know, you might have to buy a beater pickup for $1,500 trucks don't exist anymore, for $5,500, you know, buy a beater truck that doesn't look as good. But, you know, maybe still slap a magnet on it. And, you know, and at least have your company image out there. And then as soon as you can progress, you know, through business and keep improving your equipment and your vehicles, it just helps that image. But like Jordan said, it's how you represent yourself that's the most important.
And the beater truck. Jason, all about it. You know, we all had them growing up. Oh, yeah. They're starting out beater pickup trucks. But if you think about it, cheap paint jobs can go a long way.
Oh, yeah.
You throw $400-$500 and have a Kano or, you know, Mako do a cheap paint job, that looks so much better than the, and I see this, the busted pickup truck that has tree service and a phone number spray painted on the side of the truck. It just looks like trash. And then the dash is loaded with Polar Pops and cigarettes and trash everywhere. So even if you have that beater pickup truck, a cheap paint job, just, you know, it makes your truck look 10 years newer, putting a cheap paint job on it.
And doing what you say you're going to do when you're doing what? Yeah, doing what you say you're going to do when you're going to do it. Is that the same?
Close enough.
Yeah, close enough. Sure. That, I mean, that's a gimme. So that's that's a gimme, but it's a necessity and it's easy. And then, you know, for us, you know, selling landscape maintenance, it's sometimes it's an easy sell. Sometimes it's not, especially with commercial properties. But I'll just, you know, I'll be honest with people. So we're all hiring from the same labor pool. You know, obviously, if you're a solo operator, you know, it's, we had Tony Rudolph on at Sync Live, and, you know, so like Tony's rocking and rolling himself. He doesn't have any employees to worry about. Like, great. If you're a solo operator, it's just you and a guy or two. Like, maybe you don't have some of the hiring issues that, you know, some other people have. But, you know, I'll tell customers, so we're all hiring from the same labor pool. I said, we do our best to train our employees, teach them horticulture, teach them the technical skills to perform landscape maintenance. So we do all of these things. I said, everyone's human and we're still in the service industry and we're going to make mistakes. We're here in Florida and in Gainesville, they call it the swamp for a reason. I mean, it is a hot and humid place where there's no wind and it's 95 to 100 degrees in July and August, and it's miserable to work in, and people forget things and they make mistakes. But I tell them, when we're going to differentiate, where we're going to differentiate ourselves is how we're going to handle the issues that come up. You know, when you bring an issue to us, we're going to solve the problem. You know, if it can't be done immediately, then we will do it as fast as we can. You know, if it's some sort of major issue, then okay, let's take care of it today or tomorrow. You know, if it's what we would, you know, qualify as not a major issue, you know, all right, we'll do it on our next service. You know, that's what I try to sell on, is that that's where we're going to differentiate ourselves in the market. So we're all going to run the same lawnmowers or similar lawnmowers. We're all going to drive the same pickup trucks, but it's all about communication and how you solve the issues when they come up. And I think that's what people really remember is, you know, when there's a problem and you take care of it and you take care of them, then that's where you're going to build that trust with someone.
If I can, I want to ping off of that, Jason, about pulling from the same labor market, the same labor pool. That's, of course, same thing with tree industry in Tampa. But when you're hiring people, you know, think about it. Let's pretend you're an arborist in Tampa, and so am I. We're competing over the same pool of people, right? That individual is going to apply to both of us, mm-hmm. Okay? I would say that when you're hiring, you need to stick to your values and your policy, okay? I have two requirements to work for me. You must possess a valid driver's license. If you don't possess a valid driver's license, come talk to me once you have one. you can't work here unless you have a DL. Because in my mind, you're going to come to me with life problems that are going to equal broken promises to me. Mm-hmm. And I'm willing to be patient and wait. So out of 100 applicants, maybe one or two or three have a driver's license. That's okay. I'm fine with that. Then the second thing is you have to pass a pre-hiring drug test. I don't care if you have a medical marijuana card or a medical crack cocaine card. I don't care. You need to pee in a cup and you need to have nothing in it or you can't work for me. Right. Okay. So those are the two things that are crazy to implement of I don't have anybody that actually qualifies. But when I do, that's a gem of a person. Okay. Those are my values that are super important to me. And people, some people think I'm nuts. I think Jason's nuts. He has a no cigarette policy. You can't work for Jason and smoke cigarettes during your time of employment on the clock. I wouldn't have any tree guys if you couldn't smoke cigarettes. And it's not that big of a deal to me, but it's a giant deal to Jason. And you got 30 something guys that don't smoke cigarettes during the day. And it's a capital offense. You're going to fire them.
Yeah.
Terminal. All right. Well, yep. If you can't pass a drug test and don't have a DL, you can't work for me. So maybe I'm nuts or there's a method to our madness. You staff 30-something people that don't smoke cigarettes for 8 hours a day. I staff 22 people that have driver's licenses and can pass a drug test at least once.
Yep.
So I would stick to the values that you have and be patient because once you start bending, then it's a slippery slope and you'll then your policies and values don't matter anymore, right? Then you've just cuckolded it yourself.
And on the cigarette topic, a lot of people, even in our peer group, they think I'm insane. And it's not – I don't think I'm insane at all. It gets back into the professionalism topic we were just talking about. It's an image thing. It's a one, I just don't really care for the smell of cigarette smoke. And then it started out in the beginning of Nestor. Remember Nestor?
Well, of course I remember Nestor.
So Nestor, the employee, he burned a hole in the seat of one of my pickup trucks, you know, and it's just like, okay, Nestor, there's no more smoking, you know? And so then we went through the iterations of putting limitations on it. And finally January 1st, 2014, no more cigarettes at Skyfrog Landscape. So we've been 11 years of no cigarettes in the business, but it's also you can't smoke cigarettes at lunch. And so then some of my guys really argue about that. And it's like, listen, there's no argument. If you want to smoke cigarettes at lunch, go work for another company because you're going to smoke cigarettes at lunch. Jordan mentioned Publix. Most of our guys during lunch, you know, there's 13 Publixes in Gainesville, I think, they're going to go eat lunch at Publix, you know, at least 50% of the time. And if you're sitting there smoking cigarettes in the parking lot and one of our customers walks by because they're going shopping, it's like, oh, Skyfrog's guys are out there smoking cigarettes. It's like, well, that's not a good image for us. So,
yeah, and it was probably painful with Nestor, painful of June 1st of 2014 or whatever you rattled off. And it was very difficult to implement. But once you implemented that, now it's a culture thing. So now the next guy that you hire, hey, look at all these guys that don't smoke cigarettes. It is what it is. It's not a big deal anymore because it is in culture.
And the guys pretty much, and we try to promote it as just self-police yourselves. Like, I don't want to fire anybody for smoking cigarettes. So if a new guy comes along and he tries to smoke cigarettes and you've been here 5 years and you know that he's going to get fired when we catch him, just tell him not to do it. And then if he tells you, I'm going to do it anyway, then you need to tell us and because he's not a right fit for our culture. So if he's not going to follow the rules, then just there's plenty of landscape companies to work for. I mean, across the country. So, you know, just promote them to somewhere else. So it's and for us, it's like Jordan said, it's a little bit of a litmus test with the cigarettes. It's a simple thing. So,
well, let's take a short break and listen to a word from my sponsor.
Spring is right around the corner. Are you ready to grow your lawn and landscaping business this year? If you want to stand out from the competition and attract quality leads, a professional website is the way to go. That's where Green Frog Web Design comes in. They'll create a beautiful, user-friendly website that showcases your services, highlights your best work, and helps customers find you fast. Your new website will make a lasting impression and bring in the clients that you want to attract. And here's the best part. Right now, you can get started for just $1 for the first month. It's an offer so good, even our competition started using it. This spring, grow your business. Head over to greenfrogwebdesign.com today or just click the link in the bio and let them build the perfect website for your landscaping or lawn care company.
We're back with Jordan and Justin with the Green Up podcast. I got your name
Gordon
wrong.
And Jason.
Jason.
Side Up Podcast.
The Green Up Side Podcast. I appreciate you guys being here. We've talked a lot tonight about professionalism. It reminded me, I had a guy that I hired the first day I went to pick him up. He come outside with some black silky shorts on with big smiley faces all over the shorts. He opened the truck door and I said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm going to work." I said, "Not like that, you're not. You go back inside and put some pants on, make sure they're clean and look good. If you don't have any, let me know. We can get you some." It's about building your brand and building your reputation. I told him, "You might not understand why I'm so adamant about that. It's because I'm building my reputation. I'm building my brand in a city of 17,000 people. It doesn't take long for word to spread, whether you're good or bad." So, needless to say, he didn't last very long. When I found out from a customer that he was smoking on the job site and threw a cigarette butt in the customer's lawn, that was it. He was gone. So I kind of understand the no smoking, and I understand the professionalism that you were talking about. And it's just vital for any kind of business, whatever your business is, to build a brand and be professional. Let me ask you too, is there a pivotal mistake or failure that you've learned the most from that's helped you succeed?
Oh, there's a lot. That's a big question. Pivotal. You know, I think it's for me, really, I think it was 2000 and, you know, once I started working, and unfortunately, I shouldn't say unfortunately, it's a blessing and a curse that we're a full service landscape company. And we're a full service landscape company because when Jordan and I lived together, as he said, we do anything. So I do it across the board. We do irrigation repairs. You want to do hardscaping? Sure. We'll, you know, build a sidewalk for you. Let's build a little patio. You know, landscape lighting? Perfect. We'll do landscape lighting. We'll cut your grass. We'll do, you know, all the above. As we went through that process, you know, I just went wide open. You know, when Jordan moved back to Tampa, I took over his accounts, you know, 10 days after he got the phone call that he needed to come back and help run the business. So from that point on, I just had my foot on the gas and we just went and we grew the business, you know, just as fast as I could, just wide open. And that was great, except for there was a lot of things I didn't pay attention to. And, you know, and some of it was talking about knowing your numbers. So for me, it was, and I thought I knew numbers. You know, I came from a very reputable, large landscape company where they taught me a lot of things, but, you know, they didn't necessarily teach me overhead recovery. And, you know, and how to overhead recovery in general, and then how to, you know, have a multiple overhead recovery system. So I think it was, and I don't know when Tony Bass's book, The E-Myth, came out that he co-wrote with Michael E. Gerber, but, you know, I listened to that book for the first time, and it's just like, man, this guy, you know, I didn't know Tony at the time. I said, this guy wrote a book about my life, you know, and it's just like, wow, this is impressive. So then, you know, I listened to the book numerous times. I've probably listened to it a dozen times over the years. But then I did some research on Tony, and I went to a profit builder course that he teaches in Atlanta. And after spending 2.5 days in the room building a budget, I built budgets. I just didn't have any rhyme or reason to how I built the budget in our business. But, you know, coming out of that room after a long weekend and having a written plan and budget, and then still not fully understanding my numbers. I think I'm just starting to get a grasp on it now, but at least knowing the concepts of what I should be doing and pricing my work, that was a game changer. So I would say that if I were to have a pivotal mistake, it was just not learning that information sooner. And then of course, Jordan's dad and his wisdom, he has given me the best business advice that I've ever gotten of, if you want to make more money, just charge more. So if I had heard that concept earlier, you know, that simplifies all of it. But, really, really knowing your numbers and in accounting for that overhead. And there's a lot of people in the industry that are a lot more now that are teaching numbers and financials and how to price right. So that information is much more readily available than it was 15 years ago.
Profits with Payjack.
Yes, sir. John's a good dude.
Yeah. He was on my show not long ago.
Yep. No, I went to Naylor Tally Fair's first LCR summit in Atlanta, and Payjack did his, he called it his meat and taters version of his budget. What is it? Budgets, break evens and bottom lines. So, but he laid it out. It was great. It was the meat and potatoes version. I mean, he gave a phenomenal breakdown of, you know, of overhead recovery and how you should charge, you know, charge your rates in a, you know, in an hour and a half or 2 hour talk. So yeah, there's a lot of info out there.
Well, here's four podcasts that I listen to on a regular basis. One is The Green Side Up. Two is The Green Industry Podcast with Paul Jamison. The LCR Media Podcast with Naylor Taliaferro, Profits with Payjack, and then I listen to Jeremiah Jennings, his podcast, and I listen to Brian Fullerton. I listen to people like you guys because there's something that I can learn while I'm working, while I'm sweating, while I'm mowing. I can learn to help me be a better business owner, help me be a better boss, or a better husband, a better father. My wife and I have been married 35 years, and I still don't know all there needs to be known about being a good husband. I don't want to learn something.
I don't think all three of us, we're never going to know that.
Probably not. But I want to educate myself because there's more I can learn. There's things that I can implement into my business to help me be a better business owner. And I feel like the information that you have shared tonight is going to help some of my listeners be better business owners, be better men, be better bosses. And that's the goal of my podcast. I'm never going to be huge, not that I know of, but if I can help a few, then I feel like I'm being a contributor to our industry. And let me ask you this. Do you have a favorite quote? And you can take turns. Do you have a favorite quote or a favorite book that you would like to share with us?
Well, Andy, before I answer that, I love what you just said about, you know, helping, you know, listeners and their growth and what you just laid out. I'll make this short, but I want to answer the question that you asked to both of us about lessons that we learned. Sure. You heard about Jason knowing the numbers. There's two things, and they're going to go in order. The first thing is say yes to good opportunities. There's a time where, like, I cut trees, right? I do tree removal, well, and tree pruning. I did a commercial project where for every tree that got removed, a new tree had to be installed. So the contractor asked me if I install trees. It's like 100 trees that have to be installed. The easy answer is no, you need to hire a landscaper. But I said, yes, we can do that. Next thing I know, I have a $300,000 purchase order, and I'm ordering tractor trailer loads of trees, and I'm putting them in the ground, right? So I said yes to something. I took a risk. I have the labor to do it, and we did it. I started a plant healthcare program, okay? Got the license with the state, did it all the right way, and I'm doing land clearing now on a job that I've never done before, and I'm subcontracting that out. So I had some opportunities. Instead of just saying, nah, I'm not going to do it, I looked at it, I figured out if I could make a profit doing it, and we've implemented it, and we've capitalized on it. I'd also say to that is, know what you don't do well. For me, it's consulting. Being a consulting arborist and writing reports takes a lot of time on my end that I don't have to give. The time I have is for billable man hours in the field, not consulting and writing reports behind a computer. So I've took advantage and said yes to good opportunities that are an easy fit. And I've said no to what's a time suck that doesn't work for me. And the second thing is investing in your employees. When I walked into Independent Tree Service, my dad was a certified arborist and I was a certified arborist. Right now I have 5 certified arborists on my payroll. I have 5 other crew leaders that just finished certified arborist school, and they're going to take their exam in the next month or two. So I'm on the precipice of having 10 certified arborists in my business. And in investing in them and putting them in arborist school changed their outlook about independent tree service. They're in it to win it now. It's not just an employee. It's I value them for their personal success. And then I'm recouping that back in effort and decision making. So it's a transfer of energy and information from me to my employees. Because what happens if I get whacked by a Mack truck tomorrow? I'm gone. And if I didn't transition this energy and this information from my head into theirs, it was a waste of time. So those are the two lessons that I've learned over 15 years of doing this. Say yes to good opportunities, know what you don't do well. For me, it's consulting, and then invest in your other people. And the more you empower them, the easier your life is, because you're no longer the bottleneck of information or the bottleneck of decisions.
That is so good. I believe you have to dream a dream and share that dream with your employees to the point where they want to help you make that dream become reality. You cast that vision to your team. You share your goals. You share, you know, what you want to accomplish. And they'll buy into it and invest in them. One thing I've done for my guys is on a slow morning, if we ever have one, I will, today's boot day. Let's go buy new boots and take my guys out and buy them a new pair of boots. Just investing in them, like you said. And what that does, it builds that respect, it builds that trust, and it builds the loyalty where they want to work for you and they're proud to be on your team.
100%. Do you have a favorite book, Jason, or is it The E-Myth?
So normally whenever I get asked this question, there's so many books. So now that we're obviously in the podcast world, since we have a podcast, but once I started consuming podcasts, I started listening to a lot fewer books on audio, on Audible. Prior to learning what a podcast was, I'd listen to a ton of books on Audible. But before I go through my Audible list, I got five here that are pretty good. One of my favorite sayings was from a college student that I had working for me in our landscape, on our landscape install crew. It was probably 6:30 in the morning. His name was Aaron. He was sitting on a plastic tote, half asleep from probably a late night of college fun. And we were discussing a problem from the day before, and with his eyes closed, sitting right in front of me, he says, "Proper planning prevents piss poor performance." And I said, where did you come up with that? He's like, "Oh, you've never heard of that?" I said, "That is brilliant." I said, "I'm going to get it printed out and put it on the wall." And so we haven't printed it out and put it on the wall yet. I said, "But that's great. I love it, you know." And then some people tell me it's negative, and I don't think it's negative at all. It's just reality. Proper planning prevents piss poor performance.
And the alliteration's fun.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a military term or whatever, where it comes from. But yeah, Aaron, the college student, you know, probably 6 or 7 years ago told me that. And it's like, it's true. Just, you know, a little bit more planning.
Yeah.
But so for books, I mentioned the E-Myth earlier with Tony Bass and Michael E. Gerber. You know, they co-wrote the landscape version. That's a phenomenal book. You know, you spoke of kind of building the company and, you know, boot day. Jeffrey Scott has a book that he put out, The Destination Company, and it's all about building your company to be, you know, a destination where people want to come to work. So that's another great book. You know, I really like, you know, non-industry, non-business books. Matthew McConaughey wrote a book called Green Lights. Phenomenal. He reads it. So if you're going to consume that book, you might as well listen to it. It's pretty entertaining. Malcolm Gladwell wrote a book called Outliers. That's another great book. And then Dale Carnegie's How to Win Friends and Influence People. That's another one that's a great go-to.
So Jason is much more well-rounded when it comes to read listening than I am. I just don't like reading. Maybe the last time I read a book, I was in eighth grade reading Harry Potter. But I listened to a book by Phil Knight, who is the inventor of Nike, I guess is how you would say it. And his book is called Shoe Dog. And that was a fun listen, all about the inception of Nike before Nike even existed and how it scaled to where it is today. And that helps. It's not a green industry book. It's in a way not a business book. It's a story about a business, but it let me reflect on how he got the business where it is now and putting people in places to where he didn't have to be that person all over the place. That was a book that I really enjoyed listening to, Shoe Dog.
I'll share mine with you. My favorite book is Buy Back Your Time by Dan Martell. It's a great book. And my favorite quote is, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail.
Yeah.
I like it.
There you go. That makes total sense.
And we've had, you know, I'll go through my shop. And my shop is about 45 by 135, 140 feet. I have four overhead doors. I have a loading dock where a semi can back in to unload fee or grass seed or salt during the wintertime. So we hang little phrases and sayings all over the shop, try to, and I don't mind sharing. I'll put up how much money I want to make that year, what I want my top dollar income to be. I'm not ashamed for the guys that work for me to know this is the goal. Because if I share that goal with them, they're going to help me achieve it. So, but tell our listeners how they can follow you, how they can support you, how they can, you know, subscribe to your social media pages.
Sure. So for social media, we are on Instagram and Facebook with Greenside Up Podcast. I'm also very active with Skyfrog Landscape on Instagram and Facebook. We've got a great video partner that we've partnered with in Gainesville, Sky Palm Studios. So they're helping us out with a lot of our content now. And anyway, keeping me a little bit more organized on the business front with Skyfrog. And then I handle all of our stuff with the podcast. And then you can find Greenside Up Podcast on Spotify and Apple. And we've got a website.
It's greensideuppodcast.com. And then our email, it's simple. It's greensideuppodcast@gmail.com. So I handle the email side of things. Jason does everything to do with social media because personally I can't stand social media and won't do it. But the Instagrams is a good place. And Jason's got some funny content on Skyfrog Landscape on that Instagram as well. But that's how you can get us on Spotify, Apple, or shoot us an email or check out our website, greensideup.com, greensideuppodcast.com.
You mentioned Tony Rudolph. He's a great guy. He's a friend of mine. When I first started my podcast, it was a little while, I got an email from Tony Rudolph, and he said he had come across my podcast and wanted me to be a guest on his show. And at the end of the show, he said, when I make a friend, we're friends for life. So y'all are stuck with me now.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
All right. When are you coming to Florida? We can hang out and take you frog egging or alligator hunting.
Well, the last time I was golfing in Florida was in Orlando at the Lake Buena Vista Golf Course at Disney World.
Yep.
And I was on the number 4 tee box. And I heard a noise behind me, and I turned and looked, and there was a bobcat about 15 feet from me, scared the mess out of me. But I wanted to do some shop tours. I might be interested in trying to schedule something with you all and coming down for a shop tour.
Yeah,
we could bang out both in one day. Gainesville and Tampa are about an hour and a half apart, so you could see the Skyfrog show and the Independent Tree show.
Well, prior to my lawn care business, I was in law enforcement.
Thank you. I appreciate your service. Thank you.
Well, I appreciate that. I actually applied for the Florida State Police, and I went to the Tampa, one of the offices in Tampa, for my background investigation, my written exam, and my physical agility. And by the time they decided to hire me, my local sheriff's department hired me. So I didn't move to Florida, but I almost was a Floridian.
Yeah. Well, We would have loved to have you. The land of no state income tax and freedom where, well, I won't go there, but snowflakes tend to melt in Florida.
Yes. The older I get, the less I like snow, and I plow snow.
So. The older I get, the more I turn into my father. It's crazy to watch. Yeah. And now I'm raising three kids, and like I'm turning into my dad, yelling at him for touching my walls.
Well, yeah, if you make it down to Florida, Andy, give us a shout. Our shop's finally, you know, whatever, post fire. We had a fire in our shop 3 years ago, so now we have a nice insulated building, and we actually have light switches to turn lights on. So we're actually putting back some organization this year. So it feels pretty good.
All right. Well, I appreciate you guys joining the Lawn Hustle tonight, and thank you. I hope this episode has given you the tools and the inspiration to grow your lawn care business and to reach your goal. Don't forget to subscribe to the Greenside Up podcast. Hit the notification. Subscribe to the Lawn Hustle podcast. Leave us a 5-star review and a nice, or a 5-star rating and a nice review. And as always, keep growing, keep hustling, and keep turning your passion into profit. Until next time, take care and keep the grass greener on your side.